Well, good morning. Our sermon today is taken from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 reads, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Now, today's sermon is built from my daily devotional, which was posted this Monday, April the 13th. And there were many, many things in addition to what was said that could be said for the spiritual benefit of the hearers. So I decided to extrapolate the devotional into a sermon, and I pray that it benefits all of you who are listening today. Outbreaks of contagious infectious diseases are not new to the human experience. Today we have COVID-19. In Bible times, they had leprosy, a skin disease in which the body would waste away, for which there was no human cure. Leprosy in the Bible was a skin disease, probably what we know of today, or a variation thereof, Hansen's disease. This was an infection caused by slow-growing bacteria called Mycobacterium leprae, which can also affect the nerves, the skin, the eyes, and the lining of the nose. The Hebrew word for leprosy was zarat, a disease of the skin or an unhealthy agent active in fabrics or walls. In Bible days, this disease was always progressive and eventually fatal apart from divine intervention. Now, for the health of the Israelite community, people who contracted leprosy would cover their face and be isolated or quarantined and/or socially distanced for an indefinite period of time from the rest of society. Israel had a very efficient system to do this, which was prescribed by the law of God in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. Now, I often imagine what it would be like for people to undergo a period of quarantine, but now I have witnessed it in my lifetime. People are undergoing feelings of isolation, unworthiness, and hopelessness. And this is where God comes in. There are three points of application which arise, from our text. The first is the inhumanity of this particular COVID-19 virus. The second is that the personal touch of Jesus transcends human conditions. And the third is a warning against the danger of spiritual quarantine. Our first point, the inhumanity of this particular COVID-19 virus. Let me make a statement, a caveat here, that we are not to take away from this that we should not engage in recommended and required public health practices. Indeed, we should. But I am simply pointing out the inhuman nature of this evil virus. First, with regard to social distancing, there was a day when Jesus entered into the house of a certain Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, and he excoriates him because he gave him no kiss of greeting when he entered into his house. In today's context, or at least in the context of a month ago, basically what he was saying was, "I came into your house and you didn't even shake my hand." And so we see here that this idea of social distancing is something that is very, very unnatural. Second, with regard to the distancing of families, especially as it applies to the isolation of so many of our elderly folks, but Also, with regard to weddings and funerals, you know, a wedding is a time where families come together and celebrate, and the funerals are a time when families and friends come together to grieve. But now, this is done in most unnatural fashion, and I don't know if anything more needs to say here, so I'm just going to leave it there. The third is the distancing of church families. We are forced to balance the command to love one another and to seek the health of our brethren over and above the command of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, which says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, sadly, there can be no sacrament of communion without a physical coming together. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 26, this is stressed. "Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper." And moving down to verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Taking communion as a family, perhaps around your table or in your living room, is certainly a legitimate observance of this, but certainly online church communion cannot be stretched to be a corporate setting, at least in my humble opinion. Notwithstanding all of this, we do have means. We have mail, we have telephone, we have the internet to communicate, and we must take full advantage of all of these, certainly within the observance of the biblical injunctions. The fourth subpoint here, with regard to the inhumanity of this particular COVID-19 virus and the things that arise from it, is that of societal concerns. There's a lot of economic pain out there, very, very real pain. I think of the men, the breadwinners, in some cases the women who are the head of their household, and they're unable to provide for their household, and they've got these feelings of worthlessness. Because, you know, human beings were made to work, right? Wasn't a garden produced there? And Adam and Eve were there, and they went to work every day, tending their garden, the Garden of Eden. They had something to do. And so many folks feel unproductive because they're not able to work. And the second, with regard to societal concerns, is the government overreach and abuse of power. There is a temptation to those in civil authority to overreach and to seek to take that power for their own ends and their own means. And we see this in the attempts to close drive-through churches. And immediately, what was the first thing that a lot of these liberal-minded governors did? Well, they went out and they were looking to close some gun shops and some gun ranges, and these things certainly, at least in some cases, were discriminatory and were done for particular means. And we ought to be careful that we don't have overreach. We certainly have the Bible as our first authority, but in our country we also have a constitution which guarantees religious freedom and freedom of expression and the Second Amendment, amongst other things. And this is not to say that I'm endorsing a political viewpoint, but what I am saying is that we ought to be careful not to simply give up our rights because some folks want to take advantage of a bad situation, a tragic situation in our culture. And now finally I want to close out our first point with regard to the unnatural nature of COVID-19 by getting to its root cause. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, after the original sin, the Lord says to Adam, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 we read, "Therefore just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." So there's going to be death, and one of the things that is a means to death is disease. So not only did the original sin introduce death, but it introduced the possibility of all manner of diseases, and the creation is contaminated by all of these things, which were not originally part of God's design. These things were not put there by God, but these are a consequence of the sin of man in the sinful creation in which we live. But thank God that God has made a remedy for this, at least in the spiritual sense. Though all ultimately will die, though all men will die, God has created an antidote, a vaccine, if you will, a spiritual vaccination for spiritual death. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that is a spiritual vaccination right there with a 100% success rate. I don't know what they're going to come up with for the COVID-19, but I can tell you that God came up with something for the sin problem, and the remedy is Jesus Christ, simply putting your faith in him and trusting that his shed blood on the cross and his resurrection victory is something that you can share in, and by faith, surely you will. Now, our second point today is the personal touch of Jesus Christ transcends human conditions. There is an account in the Gospels that records the personal touch of Jesus upon a diseased and quarantined man. And I'm reading here from our subtext here in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. "And it happened, when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him." So we see here that this man was full of leprosy. You see the extremity of the man's case. And we see that there is no case that is too hard for Jesus to work in. You know what, maybe like me, you're a hard case. Right here we can see that the Lord can work in a hard case. So maybe you're a hard case too, but the Lord can work in you today. Now in the scripture, the skin disease was illustrative of sin disease. When Jesus did physical healings, it was always to demonstrate a spiritual truth. It wasn't done just arbitrarily, but always to demonstrate a spiritual truth. That Jesus has power over disease, he has power over death, and he has power over spiritual disease, which is sin, and he has power over spiritual death, and he is able to make alive those who put their faith in him And there he is today, making a home for you in heaven, if that describes you. Now, on the physical realm, I know some recovered COVID-19 patients and some folks who came through quarantine. And that's beautiful that there is evidence of physical healing with regard to this virus. But spiritually, how much greater is this? Seeing spiritual healings, conversions, new births. These are great miracles because nobody seeks them. None seek after God. No, not one. Not even you. Therefore, God gets all the glory. That's what it's all about. So we see that God heals physically and spiritually according to his own perfect will. Indeed, God has power over disease, and he exercises it by way of natural and supernatural healing as he so chooses. And we also see that Jesus is willing to personally come into contact with those who are sick, even those folks who might be under quarantine. Even if nobody else can or will physically come to you, Jesus can and will always come to comfort you with his peace and his compassion in your time of need. You only need pray the Father, and he shall come immediately, ready and willing to refresh and to heal your spirit. Our third and final point today is the danger of spiritual quarantine. A word about self-quarantine. Now, if you're ordered to self-quarantine for public health reasons, then obey the order by all means and self-quarantine. But know this, that God has not ordered you into spiritual quarantine also. Furthermore, please be advised that since God has not ordered you into spiritual self-quarantine, then you ought not to spiritually self-quarantine yourself from God. How many people, even in times of trials, retreat into their own shells and they don't even let Jesus Christ in? But Jesus Christ, today, even as you hear this, is calling. He's seeking. He's knocking. He's seeking entrance into your heart. So friend, please, I know these are trying times. And I know there are so many things on your mind. And I know there are so many anxieties and fears perhaps that you're dealing with. But friend, let the Lord in. Let him help. Don't go through this alone. Don't go through these days alone. You don't have to. The Lord Jesus Christ is here, and he's ready to walk with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your holy scriptures and the truth contained therein. We thank you for the spiritual truths, the evidences of your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that you are always faithful and always there, even at times when we're less than faithful, or we've walked away, or we've gone into our shells. Lord, revive us in our hearts and our spirits. Grant us a supernatural peace. Grant us a perfect peace and a faith that casts out and overcomes all fear and all things evil in this world. We rest in the fact that you are here with us, and that you are here for us, and you have achieved the victory. And there is nothing that can overcome the one who is an overcomer through Jesus Christ by faith. Lord, if there are any hearing this message who have yet to place their faith in you, Lord, may you hear their prayer. Very simple prayer after this manner. God, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I need direction. I'm in fear, and I need help. And I don't know all the ins and outs, but today, you've touched my heart, Lord God, and I trust that you paid the penalty for my sin through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered, died, was buried, and rose again. And Lord, I trust by faith that you will hear this prayer today and make a home in heaven for me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you've prayed a prayer of faith, or you're coming back to the Lord, or you need prayer, please call us, 401-765-0107, or email us at firmfoundationri@verizon.net. You can always visit our website, www.firmfoundationri.com. Please get in touch with us. Get connected, and we'll get connected to the body. I know we can't do that in every way we'd like right now, but we'll be here for you to the best of our ability. We hope to hear from you. God bless you. Amen.